Hello, everyone. So happy to be here today. As many of you already know myself, my name is Andrea Carcano. I'm one of the founders of Nozomi Networks, and we decide today to start to do this chat, let me say, for sharing some of the work that we're doing in this new context of COVID-19. And so inside Nozomi, as many of you already know, we have the philosophy that it's important to work as a team. And right now we feel that is important that our team is the war, that is important to work all together in order to really try to help everyone in this new challenge that we have to face. So I'm very happy today to have here two of the most smart people that I ever met in my career in terms of cybersecurity. We have here, I have with me Chris, and then we have Alessandro. So Alessandro has a deep expertise on reverse engineering related to malware. And Chris have a long-term experience in cybersecurity, covering different aspects of cybersecurity, and is a pleasure for me, guys, be with you today discussing such an important topic.
Likewise.
Ciao, Chris. Ciao, Ale.
Ciao. So, if you can, maybe I can introduce a bit the team. So, to keep on with the introduction, I'm Alessandro Di Pinto, and I lead the security research team. Our most important mission is to keep the customer safe and the whole community updated on what's going on in the security field. To achieve that, that results, we work in several different directions. The main ones are, first of all, providing indicators, information, detections, using our threat intelligence service to both the customer and the community, using our blog posts, enhancing the techniques used to detect new malware and new attacks. We also work with the community with the cutting edge researches, sharing the knowledge, for example, publishing white papers, advisories, and attending conferences as speakers. So that's a quick introduction about the team.
That's great, Ale. That's great. And Chris, great to be here chatting with you today.
Likewise. Thank you very much for having us. And this subject matter is very important, I know, not just to our customers, but to our families and our community as well. And first, I wanted to thank you for your leadership role in all this. I think it was a great step in our company to challenge everyone to find a way to help the community. It wasn't find a way to do business. It wasn't find a way to make a new product or sell something. It was, how do we help the world? And how do we help our community? And I really liked that challenge, and it was awesome to participate in the team to get everything together. So I'm really excited about the stuff that we're going to share today with the community and what we came up with as a company to contribute and help out.
Yeah, no, that's I think that is great. And I think one of the beautiful things about what is happening right now in the world is that I see that everyone is trying to help, right? I feel probably for the first time in my life that everyone is trying to really do his own part, to try to help the world to pass well these new challenges that we have. And of course, every one of us has different role, and I think it's important to use our skill in the service of the community. So that's why today we're excited to share something, but also to start a more deeper collaboration with many of you. We're already collaborating with many of you, but we would like to do more, because we strongly believe that by collaborating together, we can really help the community. And it doesn't really matter about which company we are from who is the company behind us, but it's really important to work together for facing, some of the new challenge that we have. So talking about the landscape, Chris, I spend a good amount of time on the phone with professional in the field, on the customer side, the people in company that are doing same things that Nozomi is doing and other company in cybersecurity. And one of the challenge and one of the things that I noticed in the change on the landscape, but I want to get your feedback about, you know, what's happening from the cybersecurity perspective, is that many customers right now, especially monitored and critical infrastructure, they went to, you know, completely work with people going on site to have lots of people working remotely. So there is some stuff that changed because we have to, but that's have some implication on our day by day and on the cybersecurity landscape. So what's your opinion?
Yeah, undoubtedly, there's a lot of change happening. It's like you just brought up the remote access piece of it. There's also the challenge that companies are faced with in trying to find ways to remote out their stuff. How do we get operations that used to be done inside handled outside in a safe way? It's also the fact that the attackers are also adapting their methods. Bad guys are always finding the weakest link. They're finding ways to exploit that. I know that Ali's going to cover some of those, but even outside of cybersecurity world, you know that they busted in Kentucky a fake fake COVID-19 testing site. They were stealing people's DNA, personal information, and $240, set up a tent with everything. So if they're willing to go to that extent, imagine what they're willing to do online from overseas. And some of these gangs have promised not to attack medical facilities and hospitals while the pandemic is happening. But at the same time, they're still doing it. And they're, for example, they just hit a company that's recently gone through all the Ebola testing, and they're going to be a part of the COVID-19 response. And they got hit by malware and shut down. So at a time like this, it's important that not only do we recognize the change that organizations are going through to adopt this new, like, remote out of our tasks, but also keep in mind that the attackers are just waiting for opportunities, and they're looking for the weakest link. A lot of times that might be the employees or the people receiving emails and people that might be tricked into visiting infected websites and perhaps looking at the fake COVID tracking apps and things like that. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but this topic for me is very interesting and reminds me of a conversation that I had a few days ago on one of my best friends is right now on the front line, you know, is a medical doctor and is trying to help people from a different perspective than us. As we were saying before, everyone is using his skill. So lots of respect to what he's doing. And he was telling me, you know, some of the challenges that he has. And at some point he asked me a question that, you know, for me that I'm part of the cybersecurity was kind of a surprising, but also from his perspective, he was really surprised about my initial answer. And I want to get your take, Ale and Chris. And his question was, is the attackers really are using what is happening on the COVID-19 for basically took advantage and perform attackers, perform a specific attack around that? So, Ale and Chris, both of you, so are we seeing these used by attackers? So it's do we have any indication that that is happening or not really? Ale, do you
absolutely. Ale, please. Do you have more details?
In according with our investigation, attackers are using a lot of different techniques. None of them is really new. But what is important, in my opinion, is the trend. So they are exploiting this fear that all the people have all around the world. They need to have confirmations, to have news, to have a lot of, let's say, information around the problem. So the attackers are using a lot the spread phishing technique to try to trick individuals opening malicious emails, downloading and executing inside the system attachments inside these emails. But also we observed another really interesting technique that is the masquerading malware, malicious code inside normal applications like VPN clients or, for example, Zoom client, used to create conference calls. That is really interesting because it's like the attackers are adapting the techniques to the topic. So they are thinking what can be really useful for them to breach the users and to exploit this fear.
Yeah, that's crazy, and also very curious to know what Chris you're thinking. But you know, more I thinking about that, more I believe that you know, unfortunately, even if we are in a challenging time, there is people taking advantage of that. And even more the fact that as Chris you mentioned at the beginning, we have to. Many of us, right, inside Nozomi, in a company that are managing critical infrastructure and so on, we have unfortunately to change some of the behavior that we had before. And that is even opening up on new potential risk.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's not even just the stuff that Ali mentioned around the virus itself and the fear that is created with that. It's the mitigation as well is also being hijacked and taken advantage of. For example, some of the phishing subject lines don't even have anything to do with the virus specifically. They have to do with like pre-registering for ventilators or get your direct deposit by signing up here or, you know, anything with like ACH debit or anything financial coming through email is going to be somewhat related to this because people are looking for not just virus information, but also financial information and how to access work remotely. And there's a lot of information passed around in channels that aren't normally being used. And they're absolutely taking advantage of a variety of aspects of this.
Yeah.
So I think actually, this is a great spot for what our first poll question, don't you think? Should we kick that off, if you don't mind, Sandy? Would love it if people could take a moment just to answer this quick question. Do you see a change in any malicious activity this month? And we're going to continue the podcast while you guys answer this question.
Yeah. And I mean, that's great. And the principle for us today is just, start to have a closer collaboration. And we mentioned at the beginning, so any information that we can start to get here, but after this one to start to collaborate and eventually sharing with you and you sharing with us some of the stuff that you're seeing there, because we truly believe that in these new circumstances it's really important to work together. And because of that, we mentioned at the beginning about the fact that we're trying to do stuff that are going to help to solve some of these challenges. And when I say we are as individual contributors, and of course using the resources that Nozomi gave us to try to help the community and sharing everything with the rest of the community. So it would be great to start to share some of the stuff that we are doing. And maybe Chris, if you want to start, and then Ale, would be absolutely great to know what we're trying to do in order to help everyone in these new challenges.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, your directive to the company was find a way to help. And that went across all of our units from marketing to our R&D to Ali's team to our even the sales engineers and sales team found ways to work with the community a little bit better. And some of the things that we came up with, we've got a webpage together that highlights all of this. So if you don't catch it all now, you have an opportunity to catch it later. So one of the things is that we have some threat intelligence stuff that Ali's going to cover. We also have another webinar coming up that's going to cover just remote access. We have some new security tools that Ali's going to cover as well. We have our community edition, which is for folks that aren't customers of ours that are looking to begin their journey into understanding and protecting their environments. They can do so for free using our community edition and get some immediate benefits to helping this whole situation that we're dealing with. And then we also have some other communications and thought leadership type stuff. So I'm going to pass the mic to Ali here because he's really got the exciting meat here. And I think that everyone's going to benefit from what he's about to share with us.
Yeah, sure. We created a dedicated web page inside our website to inform the world community about important updates about COVID-19 attacks, and also to publish some indicator that can be really helpful to detect some of these threats. At the moment, we added the two YARA rules to detect the ransomware called the coronavirus, and also another YARA rule to detect the informer info stealer. That actually are two of the threats we saw in the wild. Also, we add two multiple detections for network that can be easily consumable by most of the existing security products. So I think it is really important for the community to use that to detect connection to those websites. So at the moment, we publish that on the GitHub page, but we are going to publish more indicators in the near future.
Yeah, no, that's that's great. That's great, Ale. And related to, you know, some of the indicator that we're publishing right now. So assuming that I'm a customer and I want to use that. So what I can do, I can download it or in which format, what I can really do for start to use some of these, content that we're publishing.
Yeah, sure. They are completely standalone, first of all, and it is extremely important because that means that the indicators can be used from the community or from the customers. So everyone can use freely and easily those indicators. In the product, of course, are already inside the subscription, but it is also possible to use them completely standalone, so not binded to any product or software. So I think the most important thing to say about
that's great. As we keep discussing about some of the challenge that we see, so we just believe it's important to share it, but you know, let's try to work together. So for the people that are here in the webinar, first of all, feel free to ask any question even now that we're talking, but in general, let's work together to make this intelligence that we see there available to everyone, aside from any contract and company. I think it's important to share it. So a question that I have that I think some of the people that I know, they ask me is, assuming that, the CEO, the direction of the company force me that I'm one of the many professionals out there to basically open up a many connection to my critical infrastructure. And, some of you were lucky to implement already a strategy and having a solution in place, to some of others they didn't. Some of the partner out there are trying to help the customer to do something. So, but if you have to do something very quickly in order to, increase the visibility and you don't have a solution in place, what do you think, Chris, a person can do in general to facing this challenge?
So I think one of the first steps in general is to develop a good asset inventory. If you don't know what you have, then you can't secure it. And there's two things to hear. First of all is being able to monitor what's in your environment as these remote access pieces come into play, but also more future thinking. We have to know after we have gone through all this major change in our enterprise, how do we get back to a normal operational state again? So customers or organizations that already have an accurate asset inventory, they already know who's talking to what, how things are supposed to behave. I think they're going to have a little bit easier journey to get back to a normal operational state than ones where they're trying to bolt on these things in a emergency type situation. And in some cases, in order to get themselves available again, they're having to sacrifice things like integrity or confidentiality and throwing a little bit of caution to the wind. And some projects are being shortcut. There are some checkboxes that aren't being checked. And I think that at the end of all this, we're going to have to get back to a normal state where we're back in compliance again. We're back in, in good with our regulations that we're supposed to be following, and So I think the good first step is the asset inventory and being able to fully understand what equipment is there, what it looks like, if it's changed, how did it get that way? You know, those kinds of details I think are going to be very important, especially during the rollout of remote access.
Yeah, and which tool I can use to do that? If tomorrow I want to start to get visibility, which I totally agree, it's one of the initial step, and even eventually monitor a little bit more in detail some of the new remote connection landing on my plant, and so on. So we will discuss also more next week about how to really monitor and you know, these new remote assets, but. Which tool I can use, Ale, for example, in case I have to do that? Is there something in GitHub? Is there something that Nozomi did that we can use?
Yeah, sure. Basically, you can keep track of all your connections that are coming, because usually all the VPN endpoints push users inside a network, inside an IP. Pool, let's say, so it's easy to keep track of that pool. But you can also use security tools to detect common scans inside the network in case someone penetrated the perimeter. So there are a lot of steps that can be followed to keep the connection safe.
So one of the things that I'm very proud of, and I think is something that I have also some friends that now are using it, and you know, sometimes even in their home. So we released the community edition. It's one of the many free tools that can be used out there. So you know, we are trying to make available in the community edition some of this intelligence that we discover. So. How is possible to use, Chris, the community edition? Are you using also the community edition in some cases? I know you like to use a lot of tools. So how do you think we can use eventually the community edition for helping and or for trying to get visibility or to start to have a quick monitoring about what's happening?
Yes. So I think first is to understand why it even exists in the first place. So if organizations, let's say on the IT side or in a home, you might run a certain set of tools to do your asset inventory, like an Nmap scan or something in that nature. But in certain environments, you can't do that. It's dangerous. And especially in industrial control systems, on OT, even IoT, it can be damaging to systems to generate that much traffic. So what you want to do is passively generate that asset inventory. And that's what Nozomi does. But, you know, it's a big solution with a lot of capabilities. And the community edition provides the capability for someone to take it, plug it into their environment, and safely, passively listen to that network traffic, and then develop an asset inventory of the types of equipment that other products aren't able to understand. Most people that are developing products for IT don't get exposure to the critical infrastructure and the proprietary industrial controllers, the PLCs, RTUs, DCSs, all of those types of hardware that you'll find that's very specialized in those environments, take a lot of investment on our part to understand them and work with those protocols and make an asset inventory that's actually valuable enough to use. So that's what our product specializes in, and the Community Edition runs as a VM and allows someone to basically see everything and understand it all. Before that, customers would have had to use Excel spreadsheets to manually put these things together using a variety of sources. And now it's really automated, and it sort of takes that into modern times, this automated asset inventory.
That's great. And Ale, I want to try to put you a little bit on a spot now in so we spend a good amount of time working on some cases where there was some real attack happening, and we try to help some of our customer to solve it. And you know, in some cases we have visibility about the final, you know, let me say, not a very original source of the attack, but we start to get some intelligence around where some attackers are coming. And as we know, right, you know, we can use very easily any masquerade techniques in order to try to masquerade when the attack is really coming. But I don't know if you want to share with us a little bit about, you know, in be active in the hacking community in the sense that we're monitoring what's happening in the hacking community. So do you think we can share something about where this type of attack are coming? Is there a region that, you know, based on your experience is suffering more than another? It's very hard to tell. Share with us a little bit. And Chris also has something to say here.
Now, before Ali starts, can we kick off a poll and perhaps people can answer the next poll question while Ali answers that?
Fantastic.
Go ahead, Ali.
Okay.
Yeah, go Ali.
Time, I will tell something. So first of all, let's say it is really difficult to understand the sources of the attacks, but it is really important also to understand where these kind of attacks are going to hit. Let me give you an example about COVID-19, what we are saying. We saw that basically, of course, the attackers were targeting most the countries that are suffering the infection, the real infection of the virus. So we saw a lot of phishings hitting Italy, France, and US. So it is really important to get this information because you can get advantage understanding and trying to understand in advance to predict where can be the most most hidden places, for example. So you can take immediate considerations, you can enhance the security in some countries, especially for the critical infrastructures like the healthcare that are really, really, really targeted in those months by threat actors. We saw attacks also in UK, in US, all around the world about healthcare facilities. And it is really dangerous because the privacy is in danger of the patients, the infrastructure itself. So it is really, really important to predict where the actors are going to attack and keep the security level high.
Yeah, no, 100%, and I think this is data that are very interesting according to me, and I'm always always very interesting to understand where an attack is coming from and what who is behind that attack, and it is always a consideration that, as you know, in cybersecurity is something that requires a lot of effort, but is always an interesting question to answer. I see. On top of the question that we ask, some of the people that are asking questions in the chat, and one question that I really like, because you know I know we're doing some stuff there, but I'm curious to know your feedback is: do you think that you know, medical device and in general, you know, the healthcare is affected right now? Is there some real attack on industrial plant eventually that are, you know, working on this type of sector, or they're, you know, part of the medical and healthcare sector? So anything that we can share around that, I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah, sure. Medical devices in particular are unfortunately really vulnerable because there are no precautions, no security level around. So in case an attacker can enter inside the perimeter of the facility, all these kind of devices are mostly without any security level. So it is really easy to access them, use, for example, default passwords to access the services, to leave malicious code inside. Of course, it depends by the device. But at the moment, it is really, really important to protect this kind of networks.
So, as you know, and before I pass it to you, Chris, But as you know, we love to do responsible disclosure, right? So we are, but to go more in deep, we are working in trying to, let me say, make more secure some of the devices that are out there. So we release stuff when we're sure that, you know, that problem are fixed. Again, it's more spending time talking with people working in the healthcare. I can absolutely see that this is a trend is becoming more interesting. First of all, because, you know, many hospital and place like that, they're just running in order to increase the equipment that they have, buy new equipment. You know, right now it's not very important that equipment did a very specific security testing. They're just buying new equipment. If it's possible, they would like to monitor the new equipment completely centrally. As many of you, I'm originally from Italy, and there was a very famous campaign that raised a lot of money, and in 2 weeks they were able to build an entire little hospital able to happy up to 100 people. They put a lot of new medical devices. Everything is connected. My friend is working there now, as I said, and everything is connected in a control room. And so there is a lot of connection that he would have not used to that in the past in any hospital that he worked. And of course, you know, right now the main topic that we have, that they have, is not, you know, to try to find if that device are 100% secure, but they are trying to save lives, right? And that's why also we are working very hard in Nozomi and try to help also that sector. And to go back to the question, my, you know, quick final answer is absolutely yes. I think now more than ever, you know, this is a sector that is getting attention not only from good people but also from bad people. So, we need to try to do more there in order to make sure that we protect better that devices.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely agree. And there's a rush through manufacturing. People are trying, there's a variety of people. Who would have thought GM was going to make ventilators and Ford and automobile companies? And, you know, if the hospital isn't able to remotely monitor these devices, do you know what they're doing? They're leaving the patients in the room, and then they put all the devices out in the hallway and close the door. And they walk up and down the hallways, and they monitor them in the hallway and keep the machines outside of the patient's room. That's not optimal. That's very difficult for them to do. So they prefer to take these machines all practically straight out of design. It passed through a factory briefly while it was made, and it's being connected up. Nobody's tested these or really gone through any typical process to make sure that they're secure or hardened or monitored or known about or anything. So yeah, I feel for the guys that are challenged right now with keeping the networks secure while this myriad of different devices are just literally being tossed at the network and attached up at a dizzying pace. It's a lot of change happening, and with change comes opportunity, unfortunately, for bad things to not only happen from mistakes, but also opportunities for bad actors.
Yeah, 100%. I see another question that I think we tackle a little bit, and happy to take the first answer here. I see Georg, hopefully pronouncing correctly his name, is asking if we have the experience of a real attack happening in the last 3-4 weeks to plant. And my answer is unfortunately absolutely yes. It's happening, and I spent my last 2 weekends helping to solve some problems, and some needs came out from what's happening right now in the world and some of the threat that there is out there. Some big customer that we have. So is absolutely, unfortunately absolutely yes. We have more evidence now than before, right? Considering the short amount of time that that we're observing now since the coronavirus came in our life. So absolutely yes. But Ale and Chris, what do you think about that, right? Did you have an experience? Are you talking with some of our customers that are facing some of these problems for real, some of these attacks?
Yeah, they are suffering attacks not related, let's say, with COVID-19 targeting something in the industrial, but yes, they are suffering attacks. Let's say COVID-19 are most using ransomware, info stealer, Trojan to access the systems of the customers, of the normal people. At the moment, not targeting industrial plants with custom malwares around the topic, the COVID-19.
And that's for the custom malware, right? I mean, my experience, this weekend was that as, you know, someone used to, you know, some of this custom malware to get access to you know, some of the critical facilities in the plant. And then, you know, from there, yeah, so there was other stuff happening and not in measure. So the company has a deep visibility on what was doing, but also, yeah, that's just part of what we saw.
Yeah, I would also add that there's going to be a few different types of companies out there. There's going to be the ones that can say yes to that question and say, yes, we know we've been attacked. And then there's going to be companies or organizations that say either no or I don't know. And those other two categories worry me a little bit more than the ones that actually know. If you know you're being attacked, you're cognizant of it and you're going to take preparations and remediate properly. But it's the folks that are locked at home right now, away, remote, and aren't able to go in and look at things normally. They don't know right now. And they might not be down today because of something that the hacker did, but they could be down next month or 6 months from now. They could be realizing the repercussions of what happened today. So I think it's the folks that don't know are in a trickier position than the ones that do.
Yeah, and staying on this topic, Chris, Georg is asking, say on this topic, is if we have any evidence that our solution in specific help the customer to discover or protect their infrastructure around some of this new threat. The one that I mentioned on the last weekend, Georg in specific, that I was deeply involved. Yes, I mean, the problem was detected by our solution itself. So the answer is absolutely yes. Again, what we're trying to do is also share some of this knowledge to make sure that, aside from Nozomi, everyone is trying to do something in the same direction to gain visibility. Another challenge that I can share is in an energy company, for example, so they had around 10% of their plant reachable remotely, from a considerable number of people. Of course, there was always an exception in case of emergency, but let me say, day by day, only a small amount of the main plant were accessible remotely. And in basically right away after the government decided to do a shutdown in different countries on the world, they are basically in 52 places in the world. So they have to make available right away some connection to people that they never had the possibility to connect remotely. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately through that, I mean, they have to do that from the evening to the morning in order to make sure that energy was reaching every single home. And they face problem. They face some problem. And I don't want to say that it was a campaign targeting them. Absolutely not. But they open up. They open up and they have now more than 60% of the plant reachable on the day by day by people staying at home. And we were there in that case. So this is something that we have the visibility. And yes, we absolutely discover very important stuff that I'm glad that we discover and we work them with them, next to them in order to try to make sure that that is not going to happen again. That's our visibility that we have.
What an amazing feat though for these companies, right? To go from 10% to 60% remote access in a short period of time in a project that typically takes years.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are working like mad right now. And I'm really glad that we're doing something to help people and be successful with all these endeavors.
Yeah, 100%. I see another practical question coming, a few practical questions. One is, You guys spoke about the community edition. Where I can download the community edition. You know, very easily you can go to the community.nozominetworks.com and you know, there you can download the community edition. It's very easy. You don't need to be directly in contact with us. There will be a procedure, very simple. You can get a license, use it, you know, as much as you can in order to try to, you know, work in these new challenges. And the other one is, you know, some of the people are asking, are we going to share, you know, some of the results of the question that you, Chris, just launched inside the webinar, some of the poll. Are we doing that today? Are we doing that next week?
Our plan was to share it today, but I think we have some go-to webinar issues today. So what we're going to do is we're going to come up with some interesting conclusions from that and share it on our next webinar. I think because I don't think we're going to get the results now that I can see.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think we...
Oh, I got them. Amazing.
Here we go.
Okay,
fantastic.
So yeah, let's do it really quick. So what type of... Can everyone see the results or is it just us?
Maybe if you can read the results, please.
Sure.
Because for people that are not seeing that, to see, repeat the question and read the results, that would be fantastic.
Yes. Absolutely. So what type of COVID-19 threats have you seen? And 94% of the people say that they've seen some general phishing attacks. The next is 28% have seen some ransomware attacks. 19% have seen highly targeted spear phishing attacks. 9% have seen advanced persistent threats. And 3% have seen other. So that just goes to show you that the folks on this webinar are seeing exactly the type of stuff that Ali was highlighting there, which is the phishing attacks that aren't super targeted yet, but taking advantage of the fear of the topic in order to get people to open up emails, sort of going for the easiest, weakest link in the security chain there. That's very interesting that 94% of our people are seeing phishing though.
Yeah.
Shall we move to the...
We are saying more or less the same things as you mentioned in the community. So we start to see some targeted attack, but is lower. But we need to keep up. And my feeling, I don't have any data, but you know, being in cybersecurity for my life, I think we may unfortunately see an increasing of the attack that are more targeted. It's just a matter of time.
Absolutely.
So you know, that's why it doesn't matter if you don't use Nozomi or so on. Just you know, download our intelligence. Our open stuff that we put it there. We also have a GitHub page so that we keep maintaining just to help the community use that, you know, consume that with other tools. We don't care, but let's try to, you know, work together to, you know, reduce the risk here. So that would be very, very important. So I think we are almost, you know, running out of time here. So I just want to let you say something if you want to conclude, guys. But on my side, it was a pleasure to have this discussion. And I'm really looking forward to work more with some of you out there on the field. In the page that we just published today is going to be a page that there will be the link on GitHub, links for the load, all the contents. Everything is for free. It's for everyone. And let's work together. If you see something, you know, let's keep working together. And right now, for his is connected live, and he's not just listening the audio. You can see the link here about the webpage and all the different tools that we have. But let's work together. And if you see something, please feel free to contact us. In this page, we're gonna publish a dedicated email address where you can be in touch with us, give us a call, and you know, let's participate together. And in the future, we will be more than happy to have some guests, you know, participating with us. So if you are interested to be part of our discussion next time, we would like every time to focus on a topic and helping the community, but happy to, you know, to do this discussion with more of you. So please write to us and let's stay in touch. Chris, Ale, anything
you want
to add?
Thank you all very much for your time. I just wanted to thank everyone for their time and stay safe, stay clean, and stay calm.
Yeah, I just want to add that our side, we will continue in the next days to add the contents for the community, new indicators, news, everything.
Yeah, and thank you for your help. You know, some of the work that you see here is already done by working together. It's just a common effort that we're publishing. But thank you so much for the help and what you're doing. Thank you. See you soon.
See you.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.